Let's do that. Let's go ahead, DC. Take us back in there. Everybody, let's do that again. Look, this is some very powerful stuff because Jesus did not die on the cross to have a reason to hide Easter eggs. He didn't die on Easter just for us to have a reason to wear nice, pretty dresses and suits on Easter Sunday. He died on Easter to break every chain. Y'all say that. Break every chain. Say it again. Break every chain. Come on, brother. Get a rip. Let it rip.
In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, break every power. In the name of Jesus, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
When he sings it again, when he said break every chain, I want everybody to do this. Alright? Everybody do this. Ready? Let it rip, bro.
There is power in the Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power.
Get ready, get ready, get ready.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, there you go, all right.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Glory. Glory! Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Look at somebody and tell them you're glad to be in the house of God with them today. Thank you. God is so awesome all the time. That's right. Today is a very special day, so all kinds of reasons. Number one, come up here, boy. Come here. Boy, look at me. He's bigger than I am. Come here, boy. Every time I say, come here, boy, he's always done something wrong. Where's he at? There he is. He can pick me up and tote me and spin me over his head now. Look this way. Oh, you're talking to you? Yeah. I'm very proud of my son today. He took it. I never could get that far. I didn't have it back then. I always wanted to be a paramedic. I was an EMT, wanted to be a paramedic. Well, you know what? They hurt all their life. We talked about EMT stories and fire stories. And I said, fellas, if we could be EMT, I mean, paramedics, it'd be so awesome. Well, you know what? We ain't talking about it anymore. He is one. Amen. He's a state certified a paramedic and an EMT all together and soon be an instructor. And I'm so proud of this young man. He's awesome. I tell him he's the best of me and his mama. That's right. He's the best of us. He'll take that. That's right. Hey, buddy. That is so, so awesome. All right. All right. Now, a preacher and a salesman and a farmer, all three were in their stands when they saw the same deer at the same time and they shot at the same time. They climbed down and looked at it. When they found it, all three said, I shot it. Another one said, no, I shot it. So when the game warden came along, he looked and said, the preacher shot it. In unison, all three said, how can you tell that? The game warden responded, because it went in one ear and out the other. All right. God is good. All the time. All right. But today is Palm Sunday. I'm not going to dwell on this a long time because we're going to talk about Jesus' journey along with our journey during this week, this holy week. You'll see what happened to Jesus, but we're going to do it in a different way. Today's Palm Sunday, and it just goes to show us how quick, watch this, how quick change can occur. Amen? In no time, with one phone call, with one car accident, with whatever, somebody bump into you, something happened, your life can change. Not only can your life change, people will change, and your plans will change. Amen? Jesus is going in, and his whole life changed because they were expecting him to be the King of Kings at that time and be up on the have a throne up on the earth as he defeated the Romans. But that's not how it went. The people were singing Hosanna, blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord on this day, but just in a matter of days, the same ones that were saying, holy, 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 were now saying, kill him, kill him, kill him. Amen? And the plans had all changed because nobody had plans, except for Jesus, nobody had plans of what was getting ready to happen, and that was the scourging, the false trial, the scourging, and the crucifixion. Of course, then would come the burial and the resurrection. So, what you do see on Palm Sunday is that God never changes, because Jesus knew. He said, I've got to go to Jerusalem. Jesus knew what was coming. Although they didn't, he did. He tried to tell him, but they wouldn't listen. How many times does God try to tell you something? Well, come on now. God tried to tell you something, and you're so busy trying to figure it all out yourself that you forget or don't see what God is trying to tell you. And so he was trying to tell them that life is getting ready to change. And the people, he said, but these people love you so much. Guess what? In a matter of a couple of days, religion turned them against Jesus, and now they're crying, crucify him, and their plans were all ruined. Because instead of standing up and being beside him on his throne, they are hiding as he's up on a cross. But no matter what, God was still in control, and God never changes. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. So now, let's go ahead and do this now. We're talking about the Valley of Baca. There's three major valleys that you have to go through, one of the three, in order to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem set up on a hill. And we're going to read this, and then we're going to pray, okay? Psalm 84. You don't have to get it out unless you want to, because I'm going to put it up here today. It's going to be kind, so you don't have to rewind. Ready? All right. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing, y'all say passing through the Valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appears before God. Let's stand and pray. Stand up, we're going to pray. Now you can sit down, I promise. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you, God, that this year, this day, 2022 years ago, give or take, you were coming into Jerusalem knowing that you were going to die. You did not flinch. You set your face like a flint. You knew what was coming. And even though you knew what was coming and had the power to call down all these angels and just devastate all the evil that was planned against you and coming against you, you took it gladly for us. So in order that we can stand now when we find our life is turned upside down, when the people that we were depending on is no longer there, when our plans have been abruptly changed. God, we know you're there and we trust you and we give it to you. In the name of Jesus, we give this day to you and we thank you for what you've done for us. In his name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Look at somebody again and say, so look, I say this, the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing and nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Whew. Love them allergies, don't y'all? All right. Let's just read it in a different way, the New Living Translation. I really like this. Let me get a little closer so I can see it. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yea, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the Lord, living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for thou, for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Interlude. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, when they walk through the valley of weeping, or the valley of Baca. That's what Baca means, it's weeping. It will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Praise God. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise for His Word. Amen. Just a couple of quick slides from last week, just so we can kind of get some continuity flowing here. Remember this. Your faith does not make you immune to trials. Okay? Faith is not immune to trials. Matter of fact, your faith is fueled by trials. Think about it. Your faith is not immune to them, but it's fueled by trials. And so there's a necessary passage in every one of our lives. Everyone. There's no escape. Every last one of us, we need to, and God wants us to, and God prepares us to go through the valley of Baca. Because you see, Jerusalem is where we find His presence, His power, His praise, and His position. But there can be no Jerusalems without valleys. Remember what I told you last week? If your life was nothing but sunshine, that's it. Guess what? If you have a place that's all only sunshine, you have a desert. Nothing lives there. It is a desert. The only thing that lives there are sidewinders and scorpions and spiders. I don't want to live around that, do y'all? Amen. So you have to have the valley. You have to have trials. You have to have rain. So the Bible says in Psalm 23:3 that in the valley He restores my soul. And again, watch this. Watch this. This actually, the sheep, just real quickly, when the sheep would be feeding, and as they're feeding, they get off balance, they would fall on their back, they were totally helpless, they could not get themselves back up. If their wool got too wet and got too heavy, they would fall over and they could not get back up. And if they lay there in the sun, it's called cast down. Cast down. When the sheep were cast down, Unless the shepherd noticed it, they would literally have stuff happen within them in their organs, and they would actually have an implosion within them because they were cast down. David says that you came to me with my soul's cast down. You came to me and you lifted me up. My cast down soul, you lifted me up. In other words, God come when we're cast down, can't get back up on our own. We're in the valley, things are looking rough, and God sees us. And He reaches down and He puts us back up on our feet again. Isn't that so awesome about our God? So in the valley, you're going to see problems, but you're going to see His presence, you're going to see His power, and you're definitely going to see His promise. Now let's go on to some new stuff, all right? Through the Valley of Baca. Throughout the ages, many had to pass through the Valley of Baca to get to their spiritual Jerusalem. Don't think that you're the only one. Don't think that, God, you always seem to let the devil pick on me while everybody else has got a hunky-dory. I promise you, everybody in here has got a story. I promise you that everybody in here is going through trials. Some of us just hold them better than others. Some of them just carry it better than others. And I can promise you, if you get to know some of these people a whole lot more than you know them now and spend more time with them, you'll find out that maybe, just maybe, they're not holding it together as good as you think they are. Okay? So, because remember, in here you get a snapshot. Y'all wave. We get a good old look. It's like when you're dating. When you're dating, you got a dating personality going on. And you're thinking, man, this is awesome. It can't get any better than this. And as soon as you say, matter of fact, I told somebody the other day, my wife and I were both very happy for 20 years. And then we got married. Dear, I know you're watching. I'm just playing. But actually, once you say I do, the mask comes off. The dating mask comes off, and you get a chance to see how they really are. Amen? You get to hear them burp and belch, and you get to see them when their belly's hanging over their belt. You get to see them when they're not necessarily smelling so good or looking so good. And sometimes when they got that bad attitude you did not see before you said I do. If you had seen it before you said I do, you might not have said it. Amen? Y'all were laughing. I think some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. So the same way, we see people's lives and we think all we're seeing in here is the Sunday mask. The Sunday go to meeting mask. But if you could live with these people, see these people, as a pastor, I don't see it all, but as a pastor, I get a chance to work with people and I see past the Sunday mask all the time. And it still doesn't change the way I feel about them. I still love them, and I'm still there for them. And I know that we all, every last one of us, have the Sunday go-to-meeting mask. When you pull the mask down, that's when you get to see what it's really all about. So now watch this. Moses, real quick, he had to go through the Red Sea. Okay? The 10 plagues, the Red Sea, and 40 years in the backside of a desert before he got to his Jerusalem. Elijah. In order to see the fire fall, he had to go through 3.5 years of famine and trusting God totally before he saw his Jerusalem. David, before he could see his kingdom restored, he had to go through Absalom, his prized son, who turned against him and wound up trying to take his kingdom. And eventually, Absalom had to be killed to keep him from being aggressively coming at David. So intense family problems before they came to their Jerusalem. But the greatest is what we're talking about today, our Savior. To get to his Jerusalem, to really get to it, he had to go through the cross. And to go through the cross, he had to go through the trial, the lies, the scourging, more lies, more cries, and then the cross. So think about it. If you look at God, every one of God's mighty men and mighty women had to. They had no other choice. They had to go through their valley of Baca. And I can promise you today, every last one of us have already been through at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 valleys of Baca in our lifetime. Does that mean you don't have faith? No. Does it mean that you're not serving God correctly? No. What does it mean? It means that God wants to see you develop. And so when He wants you to develop, when God wants you to develop, He lets life put a demand on your faith. Listen carefully. In order to develop, there must be a demand on your faith. And if there's not a demand on your faith, you will not develop. You're just going to walk around, where's the Skittles, God? No! It's hard out there, and God needs us to be ready to help other people that are hurting. Now, with the valley, it said through. It didn't say we're going to stay there. It said we're going to go through. So when you go through the valley of Baca, watch this. I love it. There's no pauses. There's no layovers. There's no stops. There's no delays. We're going to go through the valley of Baca. Watch this. You may not be able to avoid the valley, but the valley will not stop you. I promise you. You may be in the valley right now thinking, God, if I can't get out of this valley soon, I'm going to just die. And God says, no. The valley's here, but remember, it's not here to stop you. It's here to develop you. That's why there's such a demand on your faith right now. Those who set their sights on the mountain, I promise you, will not be delayed by the valley. Don't you know, look, when you take the GPS, I love my little Garmin. I put my little Garmin out there. I call it Garmin. People call it all kinds of things. I call it Garmin. And I say, Garmin, tell me how long it's going to take me to get to such and such place. And it says, whatever, how many, an hour. And I'm going, well, how in the world does it know that I'm going to go through these 35s and these 25s? I'm going to go through these big curves. I'm going to go over the bridge. How does it know to add in and calculate all the speed changes? It's because it's because it's all seeing and all knowing, but it is a computer that has all the stuff in it. And so when you push in your address that you want to go to, it calculates the route. And as it's calculating the route, just like this, as it's calculating the route, it takes into account all of the changes in the terrain and the changes in the speed limit. So when God says there's a mountain for you, He's already put in it. He just don't necessarily tell you. Okay, I got a mountain for you, but guess what? You're going to be in the valley for about 3 years. Really? I don't think I want that mountain then, God. Well, guess what then? I'm not going to tell you what you're going to go through to get to it. I'm just going to tell you there's a mountain. Amen? So He's already calculated how it's going. So it's not going to delay you from getting your mountain. We might be able to avoid the valley, but the valley, remember, it's only temporary. When you're going through something, if you can only say to yourself, it's only temporary. Girl, a woman was in the shop, in the grocery store, and she's in the grocery store, and she has a little girl in the cart, and that little girl is screaming bloody murder. Is this little girl screaming bloody murder? She says, Kathy, calm down. We'll be out in just a minute. Kathy, you'll be out in just a minute. Kathy, that baby just is screaming and hollering, I want this. No, blah, 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 blah. And she kept saying, Kathy, we'll be out in a minute. Just stay calm. We'll be out in a minute. So they finally get out and they're walking out. The person walks up to them and says, that's amazing. That baby was really letting it rip, that little child. But you kept telling Kathy that everything was going to be all right. You're going to be out of here in just a minute. Stay calm. She said, huh? She said, you kept telling little Kathy. She says, that weren't little Kathy. I was talking to me. My name's Kathy. The baby's name is Jill. It'll be okay, Kathy. All right. So now watch. So watch. Let's get ready. The valley, remember, is through the valley, and it's only temporary. This is not going to, it's not your life. I promise you. Just some scriptures to get clarification. Psalm 30 and 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That is not a 24-hour period. Matter of fact, it's not a 12-hour period. Weeping may endure for a dark season. A dark season. But joy comes in the breakthrough. When the darkness is lifted. So guess what? It's not just at 12 o'clock, God says, okay, in the morning everything's going to be all right. No. Not at all. And during your season, remember, just like it started, it's going to stop. And then, Psalm 34 and 19, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In Proverbs 4 and 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So, we're just passing through. This is only temporary. Look at somebody and say, what you're going through is only temporary. Say it. Yeah, tell somebody else that. It's only temporary. Only temporary. This pollen is only temporary. I feel like a bunch of bees have just put pollen right back in my throat while I was sleeping. All right. So get ready. Here we go. Get ready. The transforming passage. Make it a well. Now, make it a well. Here we go. Get ready, because you're getting ready to, some of you might want to put on some put on some steel-toed shoes right about now. Y'all ready for it? Y'all ready? So y'all say, drop the plow, Pastor, drop the plow. Get ready. I'm going to do it. I'm glad you, see, y'all asked me to. Here it goes. And here's the peril. When we go through trials, if we're not careful, we'll get a distortion of the Savior. That's why I'm glad that he had to go through the valley of Baca. Because we see him going through this, and what happens is, as we're going through something, if we're not careful, we'll start accusing God. I know nobody's ever accused God, have you? We'll start blaming God. Does anybody ever blame God? Thank you, bro. Thank you so much. All right. They accuse God. They blame God. Well, that was good stuff. Or they just say, God, if you really loved me, or people around you say, well, if you were really a child of God, you wouldn't be going through this. Then there's disbelief in the scriptures. Because we say, wait a minute. It worked before. Why is not it working now? I remember very distinctly, D.C. and Daniel, we were fishing. And it was me, D.C., Daniel, and his mama. We're out there fishing at Havens Gardens. D.C. and Daniel are little bitty things. And so they're out there with play, and they have play fishing stuff, and they had some play camping stuff, and there was a knife, a plastic knife, just plastic. And I heard them arguing, and I said, boys, quit arguing. Daniel had the knife, but D.C. wanted it. D.C. was much bigger than Daniel, but they weren't much smarter at the time. Because he took the knife from Daniel, and they're arguing and fighting, and he pulls it out of Daniel's hand, and it goes right in his eye. He screams. I turned around and looked, and there was blood coming down his face, out of his eye. I opened up his eye, and I saw a quarter-inch gash. And so, I grabbed everything. I told his mama, I said, let's get him up, get Daniel. We got to go to the hospital. We're just a block from the hospital. Put him in the car. We got to go. And so we got to the, pulled out of Havens Gardens, and I bet I hadn't gone maybe a block or less, and I heard the Lord speak to me and said, well, have you talked to me about it? And I said, oops. So I pulled over, and I told Beverly, I said, Beverly, give him to me. So here's DC, blood coming down his face, and I laid my hand on his face, and I held him, and I said, Lord, you made this boy. You can heal this boy. And we trust you totally. And I gave him back to his mom, and we get to the hospital, and the doctor says, they rushed him back there because he was bleeding in his eye. They opened him up and said, well, where'd he cut it? I said, it was right here. He said, son, there's nothing there. I said, Doc, I saw it. I saw the gap. He goes, there's nothing there. I said, well, how are you going to explain all the blood? He says, I have no idea how to explain all the blood. But there's nothing there. It's powerful. Then later that night, his mama had a cyst rupture on her ovary. And I said, you know what? The same God that healed DC today is going to take care of Beverly tonight. And we laid hands on her, we prayed for her, and she got sicker and sicker and sicker. And so I took her to the hospital. I'm thinking the same God, the same scriptures, everything that worked today with DC, healed an eye, a cut in an eye, is going to take care of it tonight. The next morning, she was going through the emergency surgery. And the Lord taught me something, that you can't gauge every incident in your life like the one before it or the one after it. Because he was developing our faith. Amen? So we start going through these things and we go, wait a minute, it worked before. Why is it not working now? This word, is it working anymore? And sometimes when we're going through it, we despair. Our soul gets cast down. I've even watched people throw up their hands and quit. I've seen them abandon God. I've seen them desert God because they were not expecting the Valley of Baca. That's why it's important that people learn about this stuff and to know this stuff is out there and it does happen. But remember, it's not to destroy you, it's to develop you. There's a big difference. If it was to destroy you, then he would yank out your faith. But because there's a demand on your faith, it's there to develop you. So watch this. It said make it a well. You got to make this thing a well. There's a production here. So what about this production? Okay, I like it says make it a well. It literally means in the Hebrew to change, to build, or construct. To change, to build, or construct. So when you're going through something, you trust God to help you change, build, or construct. Sometimes it's to change, build, construct the trial, and sometimes it's to change, build, construct your attitude. Ouch. I like God to change everything without changing me. You know, mighty army, maybe tomorrow, I'm not sure. It says God's already worked out your trial. Now he's trying to work out you. Wow. All right. So watch. Watch this. We're not going to be here very long, I promise. If we are, then just think of it as a demand on your faith and you're being developed. So I got all holy on that one, didn't I? Now you can't get up. Wait, though. All right, ready? Take that place. That valley where it appears, where you think you're going to be defeated and stopped, you're going to be conquered and destroyed or die, make it a well. And that well literally means a spring, a fountain, a source of satisfaction. So now watch this. Get ready. Watch this. God is so good. All the time, God is good. Now, I was going to say, do we have a testimony today too? Do we have a testimony today? You're talking about it Tuesday? Okay. I just want to make sure because I didn't want to not do it if we were going to do it. Okay, that's cool. All right. So now, watch this. I said, make it a well. How do you do it? Don't just tell me to do it. Tell me how. You know, I love people telling me, just all you got to do is this, this, and this. Tell me how. I remember back in the day, y'all guys, the younger people wouldn't have any idea about this. Back in the day when I was working at Procter & Gamble, back in the 80s, and computers were just beginning to be a big thing. I was doing PLCs. I could do them like the back of my hand. But then we started doing personal computers, and I remember I was working an energy management system, and all of a sudden I had, y'all ever heard of a Compaq? I had a Compaq. I had an HP. And I had a Johnson Control, and my boss man said, I want you to run me some reports. And I said, well, don't you think I need some training? He said, come on over here, I'll train you. I sat down, and he said, all you got to do is this, 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 and he walked off. Huh? I thought I was doing good. Just combining all these different computers together and making them work because they had different programs. And all of a sudden he said, all you got to do is this, 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 this. So he came in later on and said, have you got those reports ready? I said, I haven't even got the computer turned on yet. He said, what's wrong? I told you how to do it. I said, son, this is where I first said it. You said it at the fountain too, but I first said it here. I said, because he was from up north. I said, you're talking northern and I'm listening southern. So watch, here we are. I'm talking southern now, but I hope you're listening southern. Get ready. Get ready. How are you going to make it a well? Get ready. First, you got to seek his truth. It says in verse 2, yea, long I faint with the longing to enter the courts of the Lord, my whole being, my body and soul. I will shout joyfully to the Lord. What you got to do is you got to move beyond the facts. Move beyond the facts, okay? You got to move beyond the facts, pursue an intimate relationship with the Savior. So first, you got to seek the truth. Don't be trying to figure it out your own. We can't figure it out. You got to use God's Word, okay? I watched the guys at Pitt Detention Center and at the hospital, and some counselors will come in and talk with the people, and they're going out going, okay, if I do this, this, and this, okay, but I'm still having this problem. And then they call me in, and I say, okay, first I got to ask you, do you mind if I use the Word of God? And they go, of course not. And if they say they do, I said, then maybe you don't need to talk to me, because I'm going to use the Word of God. They said, why you got to use the word of God? I said, because that's the only thing you can trust. I said, you can't trust yourself. You can't trust the situation. You got to trust the word of God. And it's so amazing, even at PCDC, I've watched atheists turn around, demon worshipers turn around, all kinds of guys turn around because I used the word of God. And they found out that the word of God is where the truth's at. And that's what happens. So first, you gotta move beyond facts. Secondly, you gotta hold the truth. The Bible says in verse 4-6, what joy for those who can live in your house always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. First, you gotta move beyond facts. Secondly, and this is the hardest one, you got to move beyond your feelings. If every time you turn around you get your feelings hurt, I can promise you something. God's going to let you stay in those valleys a little longer till you can learn how to quit walking by feelings and start walking by faith. If He's developing you, guess what? He's going to find a way. He knows the way. What has to happen to get you to move beyond your feelings? So you got to gain an ultimate reality of God's kingdom. And then finally, let His truth hold you. You hold His truth, and let His truth hold you. Verse 10 says, let me get my Bible. Now I get my Bible out. Hold on. God is so awesome. Y'all help me out here. God is so awesome. Is Psalms in the first Old Testament or New Testament? For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a... if I got the right one. Let me see. Hold on, make sure I got it. No. Praise God. Hold on. I can't see good. These allergies got my eyes messed. Trust God. Y'all are blurry right now. I can't even see. Look, where you at, Steve? Move beyond the flesh. Desire a passionate relationship. A revelation in nature. Ready? Here we go. I'm getting ready to close. This year you can even come start playing something. Watch this. Why does God permit the Valley of Baca? Number one, for our good. Each time you're called upon to walk through trouble, you'll come out better. Every time. Number two, it's for our growth. When we walk the path of suffering, we draw closer to God. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people I know that when everything's going hunky-dory, they kind of forget God. They just talk about Him a little bit. Maybe pray a little bit. When they're going through things, they get serious with God. And it's also for others' guidance. You cannot lead others where you haven't been. I promise you, you can't. Here it goes. I will give you beauty. This is His promise. Isaiah 61:3, I will give you beauty to replace those ashes. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give beauty, give them unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Everybody stand. Jesus went through the valley. And because He went through it, He can help you go through it. He suffered the worst death known to man at any time. The cross was one of the worst, and still is one of the worst forms of capital punishment. Add on top of it that He had been scourged You're either scourged or crucified, one or the other, but he got both of them. He got a double dose. So he can say, I'm here with you. I've got you. Hold on to me. Trust me. Climb in my pocket. I'll lead you through this. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. No looking around. The first question I've got today. Is if I was to ask you, where you stand with God, would you say, well, I've never really given him all? Or maybe you would say, well, I went through the Valley of Baca and I didn't realize it was for my development. And I thought God was just picking on me and his word didn't work. And so I've let go of God, or I've not got as close to him as, or moved away from him and not as close as I used to be. And I'm talking to you today. Nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. Would you hold up that hand and say, that's me. I'm not where I should be with God. And I want it right. I'm not going to make an example of you. We're just going to pray right in your seats. Would you put up that hand and say, I'm not where I need to be. And I want to be. Or I let these trials push me away. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you say, wow, I didn't realize that I was just going through this. This was not my permanent address. I'd kind of given up hope that there was something wonderful on the other side. I thought the valley was my destination, and now I realize it's just part of the journey. My destination is Jerusalem. And I need to trust God because I'm going through this. I'm not living here. I'm going through it. There's no stops. There's no delays. God has a plan. And when his plan comes to fruition, I'm out of here. If that's you I'm talking to, and you just need strength for the valley, strength for the journey, we just put that hand up. Nobody looking around. I need strength for the journey. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them mightily, Lord. I want us all to pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Father, I rededicate my heart to you this morning. I thank you for all the valleys of Baca in my life. I may not have liked them, but I know they were developing me. I ask you right now to help me to stand strong and be counted worthy of your calling. I thank you for all you do for us. Help us to be a very powerful witness for you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God's good. And we're going to have a little surprise next Sunday. Of course, it is Easter, but I'll just go ahead and tell him. Little Walter is going to be dedicated next Sunday, too. That's going to be awesome. We've done all kinds of things on Easter, but we haven't had a baby dedication. I'm telling you, that's just awesome. And little Walter's awesome, too. Let me give you the mic. We can't hear you. We can't hear you at all.
Tribulation. And Stephanie can vouch. She's been there for me a lot. I had some bad news, and then I was told I had cancer. I had surgery. They got it all. I prayed a lot, and sometimes I would get down on my knees and pray to please make things better. And he listens, and you do have to go through tribulations to get to where you need to be, and he has really wowed me and put me through it. But I never gave up faith, and I kept believing that he was going to make it right, because I had tried to make things right through my life and never give up on him. And that's what I was.
God's good all the time. God's not understood all the time. Amen. What I have discovered is God gives the test first and the lesson second. I don't like it, but that's how it works. Amen. 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 God's awesome. There we go. Ready? So, Sundays, that was awesome testimony, sister. So awesome.